Hi, I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm H. Claire Taylor. Have you struggled to keep up with the fast-changing world of self-publishing?
Do you want to learn the latest news, tips, and tactics to help you sell more books now and into the future?
Welcome to the Sell More Books Show, a weekly podcast that gives you all the info you need to know in under an hour.
To save you time, give you motivation, and boost your publishing profit.
Enough waffling. Let's get started.
Okay, Claire, on with the show. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 353. Happy 2021. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward and Amazon Ad School, joined by H. Claire Taylor of FFS Media. Claire, happy new year to you.
Happy new year to you, too. And to everyone listening.
Yeah, we're excited to ring in the new year. We're going to try to keep things happy, healthy, positive. We've got ideas for some new newsletter stuff, some ideas for a new intro at some point soon. This is partly me trying to remind us so that we don't forget.
Right.
So there's a lot of new stuff coming in 2021. Claire, what have you got coming up in the next few weeks? I know you'd been working on the book. You'd been working on some workshops. What's coming up?
Well, this month I am doing the Indie Author Alignment Workshop. And so that is for everyone who has taken the free course. This is going to be expanding on that knowledge and building upon it and coming up with a clear plan. It's going to be super laid back. It's a Saturday afternoon class, 2 hours. And you can buy your ticket at ffs.media/January and jump in. There is a limited number of seats, so you want to get your ticket soon. And that is on the 23rd, Saturday, January 23rd.
Very nice. I'm writing it down so that we can remember that ourselves. Very nice. That's going to be fun. I love, you know how I was a big fan for like self-publishing live and whatnot, just having that theme behind it. You're big on theme in the books. I'm big on theme in the teaching. And as are you, just making sure that folks are concentrating on the right things to get them in a good position to take 2021 head on. And I love that. So that's ffs.media/January. How many tickets are left? I want to know. Or ballpark.
This is the first I have mentioned it. I'm selling.
So 2,000.
Yeah. 2,000 tickets. Yes. I think I capped it at 50.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm sending it out to, I mean, by the time people listen to this, I'll have sent it out to my list too. So they'll probably get first dibs, but ooh, check it out.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you. And thanks for sharing that. So coming up for me on Monday, January 11th is the 5-day Amazon Ad Profit Challenge. And that is going on for a couple of weeks, really. It's 5 days, but there's a bonus prep day and there's a couple of days off in the middle. So it ends up being a little longer than the actual 5 days. We are sorry for giving you more than you expected, but that will be at sellingforauthors.com/January. We'll have the link in the show notes as well. I don't remember if I mentioned this. I think I may have last week. We recorded two weeks ago, so it's tough to remember, but we are offering for the first time ever the Speed Pass, which is allowing folks to get all of the videos on day one, as opposed to waiting like the regular old folk. And so you don't have to wait. If you go to, if you sign up, we will share the links with you to get the Amazon Ad School Speed Pass, which also gives you the entire Amazon Ad School program. So basically 15 plus hours of goodies, in addition to getting these new goodies faster. So sellingforauthors.com/January. And we hope to see you there. It's a raucous crowd already. They're hooting and hollering with GIFs in the Facebook group.
As one sounds like a real hootenanny.
It is, although I wouldn't know hootenannies as well as someone from the South, probably, is my guess. All right, so we have a winner of the How to Write a Sizzling Synopsis book. Those books are in the mail as of this recording, so thank you to everybody's patience who has won. But this week's winner is Shirish Deshpande. Shirish, please do reach out to me at brian@sellingforauthors.com. We will send you a copy of the book. And then Claire, you're going to have a backlog when your book is out. We'll be sending several of your book to be named later.
Yeah, man. You can catch me at the post office.
I'll see you there. I'll see you there. All right. Featured patrons for the week. First, we have Time Code by Charles Eugene Anderson. Read Time Code to unlock the best collection of 52 stories you should be reading this year, including Moon Tweets from the Sea of Tranquility, Pink Unicorn Gunfight at the OK Corral, and Eating Acrylic Pancakes with the Dictators at IHOP on my birthday. Those are three of the 52 stories you should be reading, and that is Time Code. Go pick that one up.
Next, we have Unfrozen by Lady AD. Is your heart frozen with fear? Life has a way of creating disappointment, disillusionment, and discouragement. Left unchecked, these stresses can freeze out your potential and sideline you spiritually. But reversing these effects is possible. By sharing her own journey and weaving metaphors, Lady reveals how to make sense of life. Unfrozen opens the door and gives you the tools to move through adversity and accept the person God created you to be. That is Unfrozen.
Let it go. All right. And third, big announcement here. Rock Rain by Jim Cockrell and Tori Element has made it into the world. When the technology that once saved humanity now seeks to end all life, can its creator destroy her creation before doomsday strikes? If you like strong female leads, diverse casts, and explorations of the future, then you'll love Tori Element and Jim Cockrell's fast paced tale. I love that the concept of Jim writing fiction was pretty much born from the podcast and from the Sell More Book Show Summit events. And it's a long time coming for the book that Jim was involved in to get released out into the world. So go check out Rock Rain if you love Jim Cockrell.
He should start off with the highly anticipated debut.
Highly anticipated debut of Mr. Cockrell. And congratulations to Jim also for the Cleveland Browns ending their 18-year NFL playoff absence. And they will be getting that spot coming up this coming week. And then I hear their coach has to quarantine. So we'll see what happens. But I hear their special teams coach is going to be coaching the team. It's pretty much the Brownsiest way to be in the playoffs. So best of luck to Jim's team, the Browns. Moving on already. So last week's question, what is something about you and your background or expertise from outside of your author life that you can bring into your writing to add uniqueness in 2021? First one's off to you, Claire.
SJ Pajonas said, I've been doing this for years now, and I highly recommend bringing your own personal passions into your books. I love Japan and all things Japanese, so I bring Japanese culture into my books all the time. I think it's what sets me apart from other authors in the genre.
And Shirish Deshpande said, I used to write graphic novels before I started writing my nonfiction art instruction books, thinking of writing one entire art instruction book in the form of a graphic novel. Should be (parentheses) excruciatingly hard and (parentheses) fun.
And then Matthew Herman said, I love cooking, but I don't think I've ever mentioned this passion to my readers. While I've already incorporated food into my South American thriller series, in 2021, I'm considering making some of the ethnic dishes that appear in the books and sharing the pics/experience with my readers via my newsletter.
I like that. That's I love great. Cooking too. So,
well, right. And cooking, it gets all those like really good, you know, taste memories going with people. It's good to work that into your books because it makes your books more addictive.
There we go. Right from the story coach's mouth to your ears. Last week's question was, what do you think is the biggest publishing story of 2020? And Roland said, top story for me was authors pulling together and supporting each other. I know it's kumbaya and all, but I love it. In fact, I'll start by saying at the very start of the troubles, I hurt my back pretty bad. At the last minute, could not do the news and tips, but Annie stepped up at the last freaking minute, knocked it out of the park, all while I lay on the sofa wishing I hadn't turned off Netflix's auto-continue the month before. I hear you on the auto continue. Right now, when my wife and I are trying to have a conversation before we watch another episode of Bridgerton, we can't click anywhere because it automatically just starts a trailer. So it's like, hey, did you hear? And then we're like Queen's Gambiting again. And yeah, so we are glad that authors come together, and we're not glad that Netflix won't quiet down.
The real struggles. Last year.
Yes, indeed, indeed. And yeah, I think that is about where we left off in our world of news. Are you ready for the tips, Claire?
I'm so ready.
And now on the Selmo Book Show, it's the tip of the week.
Grow, baby, grow. An email list is one of the most powerful marketing tools an author can have, writes Belinda Griffin for Smart Authors Lab. But how do you grow it? First, create an incentive or reader magnet so people want to join, and then put that incentive under your ideal readers' noses. Quote, this is the step I see so many people miss, writes Griffin. They create an awesome reader magnet and then never share it, join newsletter swaps, or drive traffic to the sign-up form. Next, make sure your forms are prominent. If they don't see it, they can't join it. Finally, when you get subscribers, keep them. Remember, every subscriber is a real person. They want to hear from you, but you need to respect them and their inbox by sending newsletters of value.
I've definitely seen people struggle with this. I feel like I've struggled with it myself. I feel like this show, we've talked about kind of our struggles with creating something great, whether it be book, newsletter, your reader magnet, and then not doing enough to share it. I found myself in the trap of content creation without proper distribution, when in reality, you think you need to create 3 to 5 times as much content. You really need to create smaller amount of content and really go crazy on distribution. And that's absolutely the case with these reader magnets. What were your thoughts on this, Claire?
Yes, yes, and yes. That was kind of my thought. It nails it. And it's really good to go back to basics, because we do get so future focused in our work, what we're going to do next, what we're going to do next, that sometimes we forget to pause and look behind us and go, oh, maybe it was like an earlier part of the process that I missed. And I know that I forget the reader magnets. And a lot of the times they're prequels. They're prequels to your series is what a lot of people will write. And you don't necessarily think about that, right? You're thinking about the next book in the series and you're like, how do I get people into book one? Oh, and it's like, just pause, take that step back. I actually just finished the draft of a reader magnet today.
Oh, nice.
So for my new series, yeah, because I'm like holding off. This is taking all of my willpower to not publish book one in the series, but it needs a little bit more extra something. And I'm taking it slow with this one and getting that reader magnet done first. And it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I assume it's going to go way better than my other book one releases.
I would assume, but hey, let's definitely, when that's happening, let us know. And always good to look at some cold, hard facts for sure. Awesome. Let's get into the second one. Challenge accepted. Looking for a fun new way to challenge your readers? Amazon has just launched a new Kindle challenge system, reports Michael Kozlowski of Good eReader. The January challenge allows U.S. readers to engage in quests for badges and $5 free ebook credits. The badges revolve on a monthly basis and are designed to encourage reading by dangling the metaphorical carrot. All books bought or borrowed by U.S. residents on Amazon.com count. Since it's clearly designed to encourage binging, why not suggest your own, especially if you've got a series in KU? This is kind of the first I've heard about Amazon also doing a challenge in January. I mean, I did one last year, so.
Yeah, I think Amazon, they're copying you, Brian.
I'm like the 9 millionth person to do some kind of challenge. So obviously,
this is January isn't a big month for starting things.
Yes, this is true. So I'm looking at this. We've got, this reminds me, Claire, when I had a Fitbit, of like the different achievements you could get for a Fitbit. The
Duolingo, same thing.
Yes, Duolingo is the same thing. Audible has its own little thing. Thinking of what is that one that's like an RPG where you have to type words into it to like kill monsters?
I have no idea. You're asking the absolute wrong person.
Claire, so when my level seven mage...
If it's not Mist, I haven't played it.
When my level seven mage gets to the spot in the dungeon. Okay, so it's a good idea. Incentivizing people with these achievements is really smart for the sake of some new books maybe getting discovered. I hope it takes off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that how much it's actually going to move people towards discovery of new stuff.
Right.
Other than, you know, like one of the achievements is check out a book and read it from KU and another one's Prime Reading or something like that, you know, but it is fun and it could get people reading. I mean, it's just gamifying reading more books, which works out.
Yeah, it does look like it might only be invite only and US only.
Yeah.
So a lot of people in the comments complaining. People do that in comments sometimes about their inability to participate, but perhaps this might be Amazon testing this out. And then maybe in the future, they'll open it up to other territories and maybe even allow authors. Cause you got to imagine indies would, if they had an opportunity to participate in this, they would share it far and wide.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, it might not be a bad app to develop for specifically indie authors.
Some badges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Although you'd have to figure out
how to program stuff too.
Yeah. You'd have to know how the zeros and the ones work.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell.
Yeah. There's a steep learning curve on that, but
yeah. Yeah. Give me a weekend. Mm-hmm. All right. To cry. So third tip is over to you, Claire.
Heads down writing conference. We're used to making the most of in-person events, but going to online writing conferences is a new experience for many of us. And since we're doing them from home, it can be hard to avoid distractions. Christina Adams of Writer's Cookbook has some tips on maximizing your experience. First, turn off all notifications, which tend to pull you out of whatever you're doing. They're flashing neon light when you need to concentrate, says Adams. Then pretend you're away. Close the door, block off your calendar, and let the family know you're in a meeting. To avoid distractions, close your browser tabs and keep some snacks handy just in case. You'll only get the most out of the event if you prioritize yourself and your writing, and nobody can give you permission to do that but yourself.
Ooh, that's a burn right at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, it was all friendly and then it was like, this is all your fault.
We should do that at the end of every episode. And it's your fault if you don't take our advice. I really like this. It reminds me of kind of when I did the self-publishing live this year virtually. I felt very honed in as the host, in part because I was in the hotel. I went to across from Wrigley Field Hotel, Hotel Zachary, and it was really cool. And I was just there. And now I've used this trick a couple times going to hotels to, you know, boringly just write my slides for upcoming challenges and whatnot. And it's been great. I've been trapped in there. And so to a certain extent, Christina Adams here is saying, trap yourself somewhere where you cannot be bothered. Even if it's not something as pricey as a hotel, finding some way to get some space and to set boundaries is very, very hard to do.
Yeah.
But that's
all you
got
to do is set boundaries. That's all there is to it. You set boundaries once, and then people always respect them. That's how that works.
That is how it works. It's never been proven against. Yeah, I don't know. It is hard, but
yeah, it is. It's so important. And it just makes it more fun. It helps your brain differentiate what's on the screen that you're watching, you know, from just everything else that's on that screen. Right? You make it a little bit more of an experience. I love the idea of getting snacks in there. Close the door, make it like a little lounge time. You know, it's great. I think these are great tips to make it more of a fun event and less of like a work thing. Cause you know, conferences are fun events. Like I go sort of, it's like 20% for the information that I go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 80% just to like see my friends and meet new people.
Yeah. No, I'm in the same boat. We had a karaoke party this past weekend for Amazon Ad School members, and it was just so fun to goof with people who you're like, yeah, we hang out in a Facebook group all the time, but it's a lot different when we're singing in our houses with funny Zoom backgrounds. It makes a difference to make those connections and to prioritize them.
Absolutely.
Cool. I think we can move on to the top five. Are you fired up for some news?
So fired up.
Great.
It's time for the Sell More Books Show Top 5 News. Number 5.
Even playing field. Quote, pre-pandemic marketing of my books had been limited, writes author and Local Trails historian Marjorie Turner Holman. Quote, first because they were so hyper-local, but also because I live with a disability, end quote. But with the onset of COVID-19, the rest of the world suddenly faced with many of the limitations the author has lived with for years, events shifting to Zoom, and the playing field in many ways leveled. Quote, I found a receptive audience in media outlets who are starved for content right now. So the pandemic has offered a strange but perfect timing for me. If you are writing books that offer local flavor, make sure the local media knows about it. This is really interesting because it's like Local Trails historian. So this is like very, very narrow focus from an author who is limited in her ability to go out there and do any kind of in-person book marketing in that local trail area. Mm-hmm. Now, because of the way things are and because of, as we've spoken about in the last few weeks, as things may stay for a fair bit of time, not just because of distribution of vaccines, but because of it's tough to change people's behavior when they're used to staying in. This has kind of opened things up for her. And that's not something we've talked about too much, just the pandemic presenting possibilities for folks who might not have had those kind of opportunities before. That's kind of cool. And I like this as a human interest piece. What do you think about this one, Claire?
Yeah, I think this raises a really interesting point. And it's all about expectations, right? When the small groups expect to have someone in person, small local groups expect for this to be an in-person thing, you can't bring in as many people. So, right, you're not going to be flying people in for all these small group things, but you can easily, once that expectation is lifted and people have, you know, been reprogrammed to expect it to be online, suddenly you have this whole world open up. So if you are speaking to people, you know, maybe you've done some local circuit stuff, definitely go and look around. You know, if you're in Montana and you have only spoken at local Montana events, just start Googling like smaller groups in Louisiana or, you know, wherever, Nebraska, Finland, I don't know, you know, like anywhere.
These are countries.
Yeah, just countries. Just go through the country list.
Country@country.country.
Yeah, dot pizza. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, see if you can teleport yourself in.
Yeah, I love that. I've been fortunate enough to do events in various places around the world because of the capacity we have for this online technology. And we're pretty lucky, like being in the e-world and being used to things like Zoom and webinars and everything. We kind of had a leg up this year and we continue to have a leg up. So remember that we've used that to our advantage. We've done online things before. We are online writers for the most part. So,
and it's been a while since I've had anyone go, I've never used Zoom before. So we're learning.
Yes. It not so long for me, but that's okay. We'll get there. All right, let's go on to number 4.
Number 4.
Black Hole Books.
All right, so why on earth is someone stealing unpublished book manuscripts, asks New York Times writer Elizabeth A. Harris and Nicole Perlroth. A recent phishing scam with unclear motives is targeting authors, agents, and editors, big and small, baffling the publishing industry. Just days after the announcement of a novel by James Hanaham to be edited by Ben George, Hanahan got an email from George asking him to send his latest draft. Rather than reply to the old address, Hanahan used a current address and sent the book. Quote, then Ben called me, Hanahan said, to say that wasn't me. Hanahan was just one of countless targets in a mysterious international phishing scam that has been tricking writers, editors, and agents into sharing unpublished book manuscripts. So what's the end game? Publishing people are stumped. Manuscripts by high-profile authors have been targeted, but also less obviously commercial works. One of the leading theories in the publishing world is that they are scouting books to arrange for international publishers and film and television producers. What their clients are paying for is early access. Now, that seems like a very flattering suspicion.
That does seem like a flattering suspicion. It's weird. My immediate assumption was, are they stealing them and publishing them? As, you know, self-publishing them was my first thought, but I don't know. Maybe I'm coming at it from my point of view too strictly.
Yeah, I feel like they would have found those online searching for them or something. It doesn't seem to be that they're posting them anywhere. It's just a weird thing. So I guess if you are, you know, a traditionally published author or hybrid or whatever, and your editor says, hey, can you send me that manuscript? Report them to the police.
Immediately.
Immediately. Don't ask questions.
This person is trying to publish my work legally.
Excuse me, Mr. FBI.
FBI at FBI.
Well, what they're doing is they're using these, domain names. So it's like Penguin Random House, but instead of the N, they'll put like an R or something, you know? And so then it's just, you don't notice it right away.
Like all those political emails I get that say, I am crying right now as the email address trying to get your money. Uh-huh. And those always fail me. I'm like, who is crying right now? Oh, this is just a really poorly written copy written email.
What do you think this is, Brian? What is your conspiracy theory?
Ooh, yeah, I think that one thing that would be interesting would be that wouldn't come up really easily in a search would be stealing the manuscripts and translating them and then publishing them in a different language. That would be harder to trace.
That's really smart. Are you the one doing this? Are you behind
this? Yes, I am. I am crying right now at cryingrightnow.crying. I think that this would be a hard scam, but honestly, wouldn't indies be like the most able to pull it off? This feels like an Ocean's 11 indies sort of thing.
Yeah, book heist.
Yeah, we need a good book heist. That's my theory.
We are not behind this.
We are not behind this. Do you have any competing conspiracy theories?
No, this really makes no sense to me at all.
Seems like a lot of work.
But next time my editor asks for a book, I'm going to tell him off real good.
Yeah. Stop spamming me, real person.
Mm-hmm. Although, okay, so to be fair, they do have tips. So if you get a request from your editor asking for this, be sure to check, asking for your manuscript, be sure to check the email address. And rather than hitting reply, open a new email and send it to the address that you know to be theirs. But don't just send your manuscript. Be like, hey, just checking. Here's my manuscript and social security number. Anything else you need?
I always include all of my bank account logins and passwords. I think that those are good tips to just be vigilant at any point. If you get any kind of payment request, that sort of thing, always, always, always double check. All right, let's get into number three. And this time I'll read it and then I won't read number two.
Okay.
Number three.
Steal your readers. Common advice to writers is not to build your platform on somebody else's property, which has kept many from relying on an audience built on social media and free blogging services. But surprise, Medium has announced the ability to export your follower list and take it with you. While last year, Medium gave you the ability to email your own subscribers, you didn't have the ability to import them into your own mailing list, so it was very limited. The new feature applies to personal profiles and to followers of your publications. You can export your list as a backup, import them into another service provider for more mailing list features. Claire, as a medium person, you're a tall person, but like a person who's written on Medium.
More like medium rare.
Medium rare, definitely. Sounds like a Texas thing. So have you looked into this? Do you get these capabilities with blogging that you've done?
Yeah, I have looked into it, but I never bothered to build my subscription because it's different from your followers on Medium. So I have plenty of followers on Medium, but I've never pushed for them to subscribe because I didn't know that this was a feature that we were going to have.
Got it.
And so on my, you know, you can do a call to action at the bottom of your posts. I just did a call to action to my list, my existing list. So I haven't taken advantage of this. Maybe some people will. I think there's, you're going to want to be very clear that when people sign up for your Medium subscription,
that they will get more.
That they will get more. Yeah. Because that's what that's kind of where I see this being a problem is that they sign up for this, you download the list, you start emailing them about stuff that's not just your next post, and they report you as spam. So that's just bad for everyone.
Cool. Well, sorry that you didn't know that was going to be a feature, but you'd been building your list from it.
Yeah. I'm fine.
The old-fashioned way by sending people to your list. Anyway.
Knocking on the door.
I wonder if folks who'd been kind of doing this for a while will see some really good results from it. I think they're going to deal with that problem you mentioned, unless it's very carefully guided, making sure that people are very aware of what they're going to receive. Move on to number two, where I will say absolutely nothing.
Number two.
Our little boy's company is growing up. Michael Anderle's LMBPN Publishing, which started off publishing Anderle's own books, has grown up. LMBPN announced in a press release that Robin Cutler has joined the company as president of worldwide publishing. Cutler has decades of experience in indie publishing and is recognized as one of the industry's most innovative and knowledgeable thought leaders. Cutler led the development and launch of Ingram Spark, one of the most popular self-publishing platforms in the world, in addition to roles as vendor manager at Amazon. Quote, I was just 2 days into my retirement from Ingram when Michael offered me this fantastic opportunity that was, frankly, too good to pass up, said Cutler. Coupling my entrepreneurial style with LMBPN's impressive growth and publishing innovations seems like a perfect match.
Pretty cool that, you know, one of the indie publishing stalwarts is building their company and hiring. This is what you tend to see from startups. There's a different stage where, like, for instance, my wife worked for Groupon, and there was a time when it was all just people who were with the company at the beginning. And then eventually hiring, you know, expanding your search to people maybe locally, maybe around the world via digital, and then starting to hire corporate people, people who've been in corporate infrastructures to kind of like make things more serious around here sort of thing. And so it's kind of cool to see that LMBPN has entered that next stage. And I think it shows that they aren't just looking to necessarily stay as this small indie thing. They're looking to grow, which is, when it comes down to it, a certain point that some indie writing businesses will hit at a certain point in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the growth trajectory for every business, right. But I think you describing it as a startup makes a whole lot of sense. I think it puts it into context because that does seem to be the approach that Michael has taken of that startup and, you know, sort of building way ahead, you know, getting a lot of people pushing forward and kind of doing that surge towards it. Cause he's like, hey, this idea works. So yeah, I think this is a great next step for this trajectory, the trajectory they're on.
Yeah.
It's not going to be for everyone. A lot of people know this already, but it's tempting to see someone who's having this much success and say, I want to have that success that way, but it's just not for everyone. And not like you can't do it. You probably could do it, but it may not make you that satisfied if it's not right for you. Yeah. So, you know, some people just see the challenge and want to like follow in that path, but you don't have to do this route to make a lot of money and be really successful and have a lot of influence if that's what you're after. But I think that what Michael's doing, he does it really well.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it just goes to show you need to figure out what kind of life you want and then build the business around that, because a lot of the folks in LMBPN are very, very busy. And you don't necessarily want to be very, very busy if that's not the life you're hoping to lead. So you do have to keep that kind of thing in mind. Awesome. All right. Time for one of the best titles we've ever done on the show.
And now the number one top five news item.
Bisac Instinct. When author Sean Sinewin published the album in March, she was shocked that rock stars wasn't a subcategory of romance on Amazon. Quote, it's such a huge niche, says Sinewin, who struggled to get her books into relevant categories. Quote, last month, some other rock star romance authors and I were bemoaning this fact. And part of the reason there was no Amazon category was because there was no book industry standards and communications, aka BISAC, category for it either. So they banded together, each submitting a request asking for the category to be created. After frequent checking, one author in the group found they'd been successful in having the BISAC category created. Quote, the next goal is to get Amazon to add it as a category as well. Oh, this story has lots of things that I love. First of all, this is a friend of mine and a student in ad school, Sean. So awesome to see her have this kind of big achievement. I've never heard of anyone getting a BISAC category created.
Right.
As they point out, isn't necessarily going to impact Amazon directly, but it impacts a lot of other retailers where a book can be sold. So that's kind of huge.
Yeah, that's great. It makes sense that this would work because in the post, she talks about the kind of evidence they showed that there was longevity, there was a high demand for it, there are readers who really only read that subgenre, so it would benefit everyone to have it. You know, it got me thinking about paranormal cozy mystery.
I know it did because it got me thinking about paranormal cozy mysteries.
So. It's insane that there's no paranormal cozy mystery genre listed on Amazon or in the BISAC.
Yeah. Well, it will be so easy for you even just to get the folks that you did the anthology with to all start emailing.
Oh, I'm rallying folks.
Rally. Start rallying.
Uh-huh. Round them up.
Round up the pair of cozies. No, but I wonder what the progression will be. If Sean and the crew of the Rockstar Romance folks connect with Amazon and say, hey, look, this is a new BISAC category. Can we get it added as a subcategory? I don't know what they're going to have to do, who they're going to have to connect with. Because Amazon makes it hard to like get past the first level of that. Probably you're going to need someone with a rep and maybe even a couple of folks who have some kind of connection deeper into the company.
Yeah, but that's not hard to find in any given subgenre. I mean, I can immediately think of people who I'm going to talk to, who know, who write Paracozy and know folks at Amazon. So we're going. This puts some fire under my butt.
I love when there is motivation. Mm-hmm. So that is really cool. I think if you do use that inspiration to go and do it, then please let us know if it works. Because one time something happens, it's a fluke. Two times, hey, we're starting to get somewhere. But three
times a lady.
So once we get the three times a lady BISAC category, three men and a little lady, we will celebrate this mightily on the show. So we need a question of the week, Claire. What on earth do you want to know about these wonderful authors in 2021?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, geez.
I don't know. There's so many questions, Brian.
A whole bunch of dead time. Okay. If you could get any category created through BISAC and then imported over to Amazon, what is one you haven't been able to find represented for your books? And do you think it's worth it to spearhead that initiative?
That sounds way better than anything I was going to come up with. Good job.
Not necessarily. You just needed a few extra minutes. But
yeah.
Claire, you took a good chunk of time off at the end of the year. You got all this clarity that I probably don't have right now. So in that clarity, what is something that you came to for yourself that you think might be helpful for the author community at large?
Well, I realized how much I enjoy not being at my desk. I forgot how much I like not being at my desk, and it renewed my commitment to do fewer things and to really hone in on what I need to do and what I don't need to do and pay someone to do as much as possible, as much as I can afford to pay them to do, because my quality of life is greatly improved when I have time away from my computer. So I think it was just realizing, you know, like, oh, Facebook. I actually don't like Facebook, so I'm not going to do Facebook stuff. I mean, I'll like maintain the group that I have, but I'm not, this is not where I'm directing people. I don't like Twitter anymore. It's, well, I mean, I never enjoyed it, you know, but sometimes we do awful things to ourselves anyway. So I'm off Twitter, you know, just really focusing on like getting that, like you said, clarity of what I enjoy. And sometimes you get so caught up in the shoulds that you don't tune into yourself and go, ooh, that made me feel yucky. I don't think I want to do that anymore. So that was a big thing for me, just to get that focus. And you kind of have to detox from all of the responsibilities before you can realize which ones actually matter to you.
I like that a lot. And I appreciate you sharing that. I know you get that hot wisdom potato put in the basket every so often, but you did a great job with that one. And we all could stand to do fewer things and get more enjoyment and excitement out of having completed fewer things rather than getting frustrated over not completing more
things. Well, and you know, once you get to a certain point, this is not for everyone. If you're earlier on in your career, you may not be to this point yet. But once you get to a certain point, you can take a couple weeks off. You can set your ads, get your ads kind of going, and you come back and you've still made money. So it's, you know, you've still been selling books. Your ads have been selling books for you. So it's not the end of the world to take some time off. You may think like, well, if I, then it's going to put me weeks behind, and then I'm going to be behind on pushing forward. I'm going to lose momentum. And it's like, you're going to lose momentum if you crash and burn too. So, you know, it's fun to take time off. Man, I did so much and nothing.
So much of nothing sounds like something that we should all do. Awesome, Claire. Well, thank you. And definitely go check out the Indie Author Alignment Workshop.
Yep.
At ffs.media/January, 50 seats available. And that's taking place on Saturday, January 23rd, which is on an off day for my challenge. So you'd be able to do both if you so choose to get the best of the Sell More Book Show co-hosts you can.
We need like a nice montage.
I know. Okay. So you can jump on to the challenge as well, sellingforauthors.com/January. And we have way more slots than 50, but we're going to take care of every last one of you anyway. So thank you for listening to the first show of 2021. We'll be back for many, many more. If all goes well, we will pass episode 400 this year. So that's very exciting. And
if all goes terrible, you're on your own.
If all goes terrible, we're cutting off at 353 and you'll like it. So for H. Claire Taylor, I'm Brian Cohen. Have a wonderful rest of your book selling week. Go check out Rock Rain by Jim Kukral, and we will talk to you next week. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy bookselling.